Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith.
For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Our God is a giving God, and the fact that he is a giving God means that we should be a giving people. Today, more about the roots of generosity and the fruit such generosity bears. Stay with us. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Turn with us to 2 Corinthians chapter 8. To help all of us learn to be generous, Pastor Lutzer comes now with more about the generosity of God.
I personally do not know a rich person who gave himself so much away that he became poor because he gave so much. Now, there are a few, and I'm sure that somebody can text me and tell me about an autobiography that's been written about some, quote, saint in the past who's done it, but I don't know of anybody, and I don't expect them to give that way. But here is Jesus, who gave himself away and became poor in such a way that he actually had to become poor so that we might become rich. Do you notice that little phrase? You're looking at the text, I hope. For your sakes, for our sakes, he assumed poverty. Not just giving away out of his riches. Oh, no, no. He gave until he was poor. Now, many people think, well, he became poor economically. This past week, I listened to a message by John MacArthur, and he pointed out, quite correctly, I might say, that Jesus was actually born into a middle-class home. He was not dirt poor. Being a carpenter there in Nazareth, probably his family. And when the Bible says foxes have holes and the birds of the air have nests, well, Jesus, of course, as an itinerant evangelist, had to sleep in various homes. But it isn't economic poverty that might be part of it. I think that Jesus became poor in the sense of dishonor. He was no longer honored on earth. In heaven, everyone knew who he was. On earth, he got shouted at, he got spat upon, he was viciously attacked, falsely accused. That's the way he was being treated here on earth. It was the incarnation. And not only the fact that he became poor in the sense of giving up his position. You know, the Bible says in Philippians chapter 2 that he did not believe that being equal with God had to be something he had to hang on to. He still retained God's attributes. When he was here on earth, he was God in the flesh. But he gave up the use of his attributes and depended totally on the Father. That's why he spent so much time in prayer. It would be as if I were a millionaire but lived and worked with the poorest people in Chicago. At any time, I could write out a check. I could live in a beautiful home. But I choose not to because I'm identifying with them. That helps us understand a little bit about the incarnation and the tremendous price that Jesus gave. He did not consider himself that he had to hang on to his position, but he humbled himself and became a servant. Now think about that for a moment. Today, if you ask somebody who has a position to step down, we hang on to our positions until our knuckles turn white. We will not step down. We will not humble ourselves. Just try it. Try it in business. Try it in relationship. Try it in your home. And yet here's Jesus who gives it all up. And the thing that he gave up the most was his relationship with his Father, especially when he was dying on the cross and he says, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And the fellowship with the Father was broken. That was the severest test and the most humiliation that Jesus went through. And to be nailed on a cross with everybody gawking at him as he died. Talk about not dying with honor. My dear friend today, will you remember that nobody has ever been that high who has stooped that low and who has been willing to give it up, that we through that poverty might be made rich. Give Jesus a hand, would you please? And then notice the riches that we inherit, the generosity of God. Oh, try to grasp this. I'm searching for words today. I can't get my mind around this, but hey, it's in the Bible. You know, here at the Moody Church, we have this naive belief that if it's in the Bible, it's true. Any of you agree with that? And it's not naive because it is true, by the way. But you'll notice that the text says that we through his poverty might be made rich. Well, how rich do we become? We become as rich as Jesus is. That's how rich we become. We are heirs of God. We are joint heirs with Jesus Christ. We share in his inheritance. The Bible says he who is faithful will inherit all things. So in ownership, we become as wealthy as Jesus. And in honor, to some extent, we become like Jesus. Nobody's ever going to worship us, but the Bible says this, he who overcomes, to him I shall grant to sit with me on my throne, even as I overcame and sat with my Father on his throne. And in terms of relationship, imagine how rich we are going to be, because we shall reign with him forever and ever. His name shall be on our foreheads, and we shall see him face to face forever without any sin ever coming in between. What a glorious prospect. And that's what the text is saying. And it all happened because he was willing to be made poor. So the Apostle Paul is saying, hey, you know, when it comes to giving, he goes on to talk about giving. And he says, when it comes to giving, he says, don't you know that that's our motivation? Don't you realize what Jesus did for you? I'd like to make three very important points that I hope we never, never forget. First of all, remember this, that giving is a matter of appreciation. It's not a matter of duty. It's not a matter of duty. Maybe you were brought up in a church where everybody was told you should give a certain amount. You know, we just came from Europe recently, so that's on my mind. In Europe, in some of the countries, you support the church through your income tax. I think it's 6%. And so many, many Europeans are very angry about that because they don't go to church. I have to tell you a little secret just between us. Most Europeans go to church when they hatch, match, and dispatch. That's about it. And you know, one of the reasons they do that is because they are so sick and tired of having to support the church, whether they attend or not, whether they're born again or not, they have to give to the church. One day on a previous tour, I was in a hotel with, I was sitting with a German who was drinking his beer, and I ordered Coke. I might explain, I mean Coca-Cola. I thought I'd just throw that in. And he told me that he signed off on the fact that he would not give that percentage to the church. Therefore, he's not allowed to even attend the church since he doesn't give it in his income tax. And he said that he's going to give his money to animal shelters, the 6% he'd give to the church. Now, I'm all for animal shelters. Don't write me any letters about it. But I really thought, you know, that's really interesting. I won't support the church, but I will support an animal shelter. Now, maybe you were brought up in a church here in America, but the expectation was there everybody should be tithing. Now, I'm in favor of tithing. I think it's a good benchmark. But that was an Old Testament teaching, which also was something like a tax. And so what I'm saying to you is, you should give a percentage, and I'll clarify this in the next message on the generosity of God. You should certainly give a percentage. When Rebecca and I were first married, we didn't give a full 10%. I think we are developing our understanding of giving, but as God prospered us, we have been able to go beyond that, and we seek going beyond that, because it isn't a matter of saying, now you owe the church this. No. Because what you are interested in is making sure that your heart is right and you will become as generous as you possibly can be, whether you are rich or whether you are poor, no matter your background, no matter how hard you work for your money, because even then it belongs to God. You'll notice it says very clearly that the Macedonians, they blessed them. They gave out of extreme poverty. Poverty did not stop them from giving. There's a second lesson, and that is this, that giving is proof of salvation. And I'm not contradicting myself, it's proof of salvation. Look at, your Bibles are open, it says in verse 8, I say this not as a command, in other words, I'm not laying a duty on you, but to prove by the earnestness of others that your love also is genuine. Jesus said to none other than the man by the name of Zacchaeus, he said, I'm going to your house. And Zacchaeus, the Bible says, was rich. I read the passage this morning in Luke 19. The Bible says he was rich because he was fraudulent. And as a tax collector, they did all kinds of cheating. And then Jesus has lunch with him, and he says, look, half of my goods I'm going to give to the poor, and if I wronged anybody, I'm going to repay him fourfold. And Jesus said, salvation has come to this house. You find somebody whose heart has been changed by the gospel, and I'll tell you, salvation has come to his house.
Well, this is Pastor Lutzer. My friend, I want you to take a moment and reflect upon the past year. Even as we think about the fact that it is nearly over, let me ask you this question. What would you like to change? What do you wish that you had done that you didn't do? I think it's so important for us to always evaluate our lives. And one of the ways that we can indeed begin the brand new year with a new commitment to Christ is to have a daily devotional. We're making the devotional entitled Running to Win. We're making it available to you for a gift of any amount. Perhaps you've heard me say this before, but it was written by D.L. Moody. He had a devotional. I've added to it. And so as a result, we want to do all that we can to help you in your daily walk. The devotional has a verse of scripture, comments by Moody, comments by me, and then it gives some suggestions for application. Even as we think about the brand new year, we are reminded of the fact that we have not passed this way before, and you know what? We'll never pass this way again. Time is fleeting, eternity is long.
Pastor Erwin Lutzer with more of The Generosity of God. A look at why we, in turn, should be a generous people. So, has salvation come to your house like it did for Zacchaeus? Keep listening, because next time we'll conclude this sermon on the generosity of God. Make plans to join us. Running to Win is all about helping you find God's roadmap for your race of life. We'd like you to have a brand new daily devotional in time for the new year. It's called simply Running to Win and has one verse per day with comments from both Pastor Lutzer as well as D.L. Moody. It's yours as our thank you when you give a gift of any amount to support Running to Win. For details, call 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Online, go to offerrtw.com. That's offerrtw.com. Or write to Running to Win, Moody Church, 1635 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. Running to Win is a ministry of the Moody Church.